Silence!
Oppenheimer!
I think they're talking about us. No way.
I myself am strange and unusual.
This is Nerd Pride Radio!
Nerd alert!
These nerds are a threat to our way of life.
See, this is the stuff that brings nerds together.
So it's sort of social. Demented and sad, but social, right?
If I'm interested in it, then by definition, it is nerdy.
Are you in loser denial or something?
I'm a nerd, and I'm pretty proud of it.
My dad's a nerd.
And welcome to episode 121 of Nerd Pride Radio. 121, my very reliable friend and listener Kaz shares that not only is 121 the square of 11, it's also the third line of Pascal's triangle. 121, who doesn't love Pascal's triangle? Ask me how I'm doing today. Go on, ask me. I am awesome. My name is Mike Jones. I'm a D&D slash Pathfinder nerd, a history nerd, a sci-fi nerd, a comic book nerd, computer nerd, movie nerd, comedy nerd, science nerd, gaming nerd. Plus, there's like seven other kinds of nerd I only wish I was nerdy enough to be. You are listening to Nerd Pride Radio, the place I go every week to haver on about all the nerd stuff that just won't fit in my head anymore. My co-host this week is going to have to be Krampus, the Christmas devil, who did not visit our house this year, fortunately for us. So anyway, there is no meticulously plotted portion of this podcast. Normally, the beginning, this would be the time for me when I talk about whatever's been on my mind for the last week, blah, blah, blah. But you know what? It's Boxing Day. It's the day after Christmas. We're all suffering from our Christmas hangover. This is the aftermath. We've been relaxing all day, doing a lot of nothing, and it's felt really good. And so I'm just going to talk for a while. And that's what we're going to do. And let me just tell you, we do celebrate Christmas in our household, and we had a great one, just a great one. Christmas Day, got up the Deadpool list. So we've got 13 people playing this year in our Deadpool. It is awesome. Technically, it's not too late to get in on it. If you're one of those ones who hasn't come in yet, we run a whole draft, and so you're going to have to wait until we run the entire draft, and then once everyone's picks are made, if you then want to pick 10 celebrities that no one else chose, and that can be your entry for the year, you go right ahead and do that. We've had people do it before and actually do pretty well. So, you know, it's not too late, but it's kind of too late. It's getting there. So right now we're in the debate section where we decide which of the celebrities actually qualify as celebrities. And this year it looks like most of them. The only real challenge, Craig Sagal. You guys know Craig Sagal, the America's sideline reporter for the Turner Networks. Yeah, he was a little questionable, but and the person who put him in said he was willing to officially withdraw him, but I think we're just going to leave Craig Sagal because I don't think he's going to come in. Same thing with the Ninja and Yolanda from D'Antwoord, which is apparently a South African rap group. Pfft, what do I know? And I've never heard of them, but they're recognizable and interesting. I mean, I had never heard of them before now, but oh man, I went and listened to a bunch of their videos and watched some stuff, and they are fascinating. I don't know if some of it, I mean, it's catchy. Some of it is maybe good, but also it's thinky, and I don't speak all of the languages that they rap in, so therefore I'm not sure if I'm catching the message of all of them, although you can catch the message of most of them. And, you know, if you're into music videos that are visually disturbing, these are your guys, D'Antwoord. Anyway, enough of that. That's our Deadpool well underway, and I'm really happy about it. I'm excited. We haven't had 13 people in for years, so this is a good number. You'll also notice, I don't know if you can hear them, the guinea pigs are not dead yet, so, and they are just clicking and clacking at that water bottle. It's full, but they must be really thirsty. So, if you hear them, that's what's going on. And all of my kids are home. So, my wife is here. My four kids are around. They all saw that I was about to record, and they decided they wanted to continue playing with the stuff that they got for Christmas, and so therefore they skedaddled out of the room because they would rather go play than be on a podcast with their father. Jerks. So so anyway, what did I get for Christmas? Because, let's see, around this house, the exciting gifts we got, all right, first off, we're all going to Omaha tomorrow. And when I say all, I mean the six of us, me and my wife, the four kids, plus the fiance. So Aaron will be there too. And all seven of us are going to Omaha, and we're going to sit in a movie theater that has recliners in it and will serve us food. And we are going to watch Star Wars, The Force Awakens. And I am so excited. I have resolutely managed to avoid any spoilers up to this point. Nothing. I've absorbed nothing, and it's been tough because it means I've had to avoid looking at or clicking on all sorts of things that seem really, really interesting to me, but I've managed to do it. So tomorrow's going to be a great day, and we're going to do that, and we'll have a big dinner, and it'll be just a good family day out, and that's cool. And on top of that, we're also later in the week going to go up to Yankton and play some laser tag. The whole seven of us as a family, we're going to go play some laser tag, and we're going to go swimming, and then another big meal. Both of these trips, by the way, not cheap, paid for by my mom. So that was her Christmas present to us, and she is spectacular. So that was really, really cool. What else? Okay, I was talking about Christmas gifts. See, this is what happens when I don't have a meticulously plotted portion of the podcast. Now you get kind of the rambling and tangential portion of the podcast, but that's okay. My wife, Lisa, the gift she was most excited about that she got this year, and I knew she would be too, was the cheapest one we got. We got her blood testing kits so she could find out the blood types of all of her children. That was what we did. And we did it on Christmas Day, and we had a great time. It was all, well, except Noah. Noah was a little nervous about the needle, and he yelled a little bit ahead of time that he didn't want to do it, but we finally talked him into it. And it was really cool. If you have not gone out and gotten yourself blood testing kits, if you have, you know, if you want to know someone's blood type, like your kids, for example, and you want to torture them, this is awesome. It's really fun. And he gave us a chance to research and talk about, blood types and, heritable characteristics. And so, because we're in a situation where my wife is A positive and I am B positive. And therefore, if you check the charts, all of our kids are going to be positive, but, it also means that we could potentially have any blood type for our kids. So, what a weird coincidence that instead of having any blood type, we wound up getting them all pretty much matching. So it was weird, because we tested him. Jacob, we already knew. Jacob's AB positive. We've always known that. But then out of the other three kids, Aiden, also AB positive. Noah, also AB positive. Eli, just B positive. So he gets to be like his dad and different from all the other kids, which makes him feel good. But it's just cool. I mean, it's a standard little blood testing card that some of you did it in high school during biology. I've seen schools do this all the time. And it's just, you know, poke the finger, you get a few drops of blood, and you mix them with water on the little card over the different spots, and whichever ones react, those are the ones that you have in your blood, and you read the results, and it tells you your blood type. And it's just super cool. And like I say, Lisa, I know, has been wanting to know the blood types of her kids for years. Just something that's just interesting to her. She's just curious. So she's A, I'm B. She wanted to see how the kids turned out. And so I found, Santa found a 3-pack of testing kits, on Amazon for $6 or $7. It was something dirt cheap. And so we got a 3-pack of the kits and we tested all the kids, and it was really fun. Really. So, let's see. That was hers. And then for me, the kids got all sorts of stuff because, you know, they got stuff from Santa and stuff from us and grandparents. And then each of the brothers gets all of the other brothers a little something. So they have a bunch of little things. For me, it was all games this year. I mean, yes, okay. But I got myself a new coat, which I desperately needed a new coat. Mine was falling apart. I mean, I was like my coat was bad enough that it's the only coat I have, but I was embarrassed to go anywhere where a first impression might make a difference because my coat's that ratty. and a new pair of shoes because, oh, my shoes matched my coat. So I feel really good about those. But then I also got some stuff for my office, little this, little that. But for games, I got Resistor. It was like revisiting Gen Con. All the stuff that I played at Gen Con and really, really loved, but I haven't had a chance to buy or own yet, I now do. Except for Kobolds. Kobolds, I don't even see a Kickstarter for it yet. Man, as soon as that sucker comes out, I am giving them all of my money because I want Kobolds so bad. But from Cardboard Fortress Games, the makers, future makers of Kobolds, I got Resistor, which is a head-to-head card game about trying to make computer circuit connections to blow out the other guy's computer. That one's really cool. And then I got Small World, which my friend Dave introduced me to while we were at Gen Con. And Aiden and I absolutely adored it. Just loved it. I think this is one that the kids I think the kids are going to like most of this stuff. But Small World in particular, I think, is going to be a favorite of theirs. So we've got Small World and Pandemic and Dominion, all of which we played at Gen Con, all of which were fantastic. So I'm so glad to have them in my collection now. So glad to be able to introduce friends and family to it. It's going to be a lot of fun. And also another game that I am not familiar with, but it looks fantastic. Battlesheep, and it looks like it's designed for kids, but it's got a bunch of mix and match tiles for the board. So you build the board as you go along, maybe Settlers of Catan style, maybe kind of Carcassonne, maybe, I don't know. But then 8 teams of sheep, and you get to move your sheep around the hex map, and I have no idea how the battle portion of Battlesheep works, but I'm really looking forward to finding out. So I got a ton of games, and I just couldn't be happier. This is just the coolest stuff. I am going to have so much to do, and I just got to talk my kids into actually doing them all with me. You know what? I should just force them. I'm their dad. I can make them do stuff, right? Yeah, that'd be easy. All right. What else Christmassy? Oh, and also for games, Jacob got Exploding Kittens, the Not Safe for Work edition. So I am also looking forward to that one because I've heard good things. I know I just saw on Facebook that my brother was playing some Exploding Kittens with his family. So hopefully he can give me a report, tell me how it was, and I'll talk Jacob into getting his game out, and we'll give it a shot. What else do I have? Do I have other game talk? This is kind of a gaming table, except I'm not going to run any music this week. So let's see. I got, I talked about the Deadpool, talked about all the cool games I got for Christmas. I don't know if I've got anything else for games right this moment. Oh, I should have mentioned, if I had segments, I should have mentioned in the feedback section that I got another Christmas card from a listener and friends, Sarah Beth and Pat, sent me a Christmas card, and oh my God, their kids are so cute. I mean, I've been seeing them on Facebook and all that, but how cool. How cool to get a card from them during Christmas season. Do you guys send out Christmas cards? Probably most of you do, don't you? Most people do, I think. We don't. Never been very good about it. So, and I kind of regret that. I would like to send out Christmas cards. I think they're very, very thoughtful and very sweet, but just never gotten around to it. Just always, I don't know, in the rush of other stuff to get done around the Christmas season, it just, I don't know, just never got to it. But, oh, and also, weirdest thing, my mom, I'm talking to my mom earlier today, and she mentions that her uncle, Joe, wrote a book. I'm like, seriously? Yeah, it's like a memoir. He was the guy he was the architect of the breakup of Bell Laboratories when Ma Bell had to break up to break the monopoly and separate all into all the, you know, as they were then called, Baby Bells, and this gave rise to AT&T and blah, blah, blah. Yeah, he was the guy who outlined all of that. That was his project. And so he has now written a memoir to detail some of that time, but now that's the interesting part to anyone else, but the interesting part to me and my family is he also talks about his brother, who is my grandfather, who died when I was only 7 or 8 years old. So I only barely got to know him. And Uncle Joe writes in this book about my grandfather and about especially his war experiences and how the war affected him, World War II. I cannot wait. I've already downloaded it. I've already read. It's only like 80 pages. It's not even going to be like a long read. It's a memoir of this particular time of his life and his musings on all of it. But wow, stuff about my grandfather and the war, stuff that, I mean, nobody in the family knows this stuff because once he came back and he was different, he changed and he didn't share a lot about the war, which seems to be a very typical, story for people who have returned from war is that, yeah, it changes them and it's not something they want to talk about. And so I'm very fascinated to get to that. Like I say, I've already started reading it. I'm like 10 pages in and probably have it finished by tomorrow. I'm just, what a cool find. I mean, what a cool little Christmas present to get a memoir that, I mean, again, he's not going to be the main focus of it, but to get this kind of information about my grandfather who, like I say, barely got a chance to know. He was a cool guy. A cool guy. Before the war, he was a graphic artist. He was a very creative mind. He was a very, very outgoing guy from what I understand. But, you know, by the time I knew him, I remember him as being a very thoughtful and intelligent guy. And I remember, I mean, again, I was 7 or 8. What do I know? But the thing I remember about him is I remember him playing solitaire. And one of my favorite things to do whenever we were at my grandparents' house, get up bright and early in the morning and sometimes even before everybody else and going out and sitting on my grandpa's lap while he's smoking his pipe and playing his solitaire. And so I would sit on his lap and I would help him move the cards because, you know, he taught me how to play solitaire. And I loved that. That was absolutely my favorite memory of this man. He was, I don't know, there was something warm about that. It was really cool. Anyway, but again, he died too young. He was 56, I think, 58 at the time he died. So he was not old, died of a heart attack. In our house, in our bathroom, in fact, they had come up and spent a couple weeks with us at a lake house over the summer, and we had had a great vacation, and this was the very end of the vacation. Like, I think they were supposed to fly back the next day or something like that. And so we had left the lake house, come back to our house, and he had a heart attack that night. And I slept through the entire thing. It wasn't until everyone woke me up in the morning and I barely got a sense of what was going on. My cousin Rob was there and he was devastated, and Kyle cried about it, and I made fun of him for being such a crybaby. I was a bad brother, but I didn't understand what was going on. I was a little baffled. Anyway, boy, that really brought the podcast down, didn't it? But anyway, the memoir, that's the important part. So, you know, maybe I'll have a book report next week. Maybe I won't. Maybe I'll keep it to myself. We'll see how it goes. But I'm really looking forward to seeing it. Cause again, I don't have a lot of information about him. So this is going to be a cool thing to see. What else? I don't think there's going to be anything else. I think I'm about done. Because, I got my whole family here. So I think we're going to watch some movies and hang out and be family together. Maybe talk them into playing a board game with me. We'll see. But, you know what? Before I go, you know I'm not going to leave you without doing a little bit of the Pod-O-Matic. Hot dog. This is the Nerd Pride Radio Pod-O-Matic. At the end of every cast, I bring out R2 and his fully pimped out Pod-O-Matic bubble, and he rolls up random topics for me to talk about. And where do these topics come from, you ask? Well, that is where you come in. You want to hear me have a rant about something? You send your question or topic to me by email, or better yet, in a private message on my forums, and I'll add it to my Pod-O-Matic list. Pod-O-Matic is about whatever you want it to be. And, oh, I'm so proud of myself because I couldn't roll down the page fast enough. I never found it. I did that completely from memory. I didn't know I could do that. You would think, after reading that little script 100 and some times, you would think I would have it memorized. Well, apparently I do, but I didn't think I did. I didn't have that much faith in myself. So that was pretty good. But my first roll is number 58. And 58 comes from Kyle. Kyle says, oh God, Kyle says, remember this site? Weasley2008.blogspot.com. Oh, if you could have any nerd idol run for president now, who would it be? oh, was that 2008? Oh, man. That was, you know, I was just talking to my brother a little bit ago. I didn't even realize he had sent me this. So did he send me this after or before I mentioned it to him? I don't remember. Anyway, back in apparently 2007, 2008, my brother and I decided to start the Ron Weasley for Muggle President campaign. And we got blogs for he took the Ron blog, and then I took the Hermione blog because Hermione would thus be his campaign manager. And we started blogging as the two of them running the Ron Weasley for Muggle President campaign. And it was a lot of fun. And we never actually did enough to actually start, you know, making them public and trying to get people's attention and all this. We just did a few of them. But it was really cool and really fun. Our plans were way bigger than our abilities. But the whole idea that, yeah, Ron Weasley for Muggle President, which, you know, in 2008, Ron Weasley would not have been old enough to be president. B, he's not a natural born citizen of the United States. There's all sorts of great reasons why this would not work. But the simple fact that every time he talked about it, he would refer to it as being Muggle President. We just thought that was hysterical. And then the kicker for the whole thing was going to be that, that once we got some attention for it, and it would work so much better on Twitter now. Oh, man, if Twitter had only been a thing back then. Twitter is built for stuff like this. We could have run our campaign, and then when it finally came time to choose a running mate, we would have this huge debate back and forth. And we'd go along, and we'd be looking at, well, I don't know, should we be looking at Hagrid? Should we be looking at, well, you know, it would seem like Harry Potter would be the obvious one, but, oh, he's busy with other stuff. And we'd go through, you know, speculation about, you know, any of a dozen different possible candidates from the Harry Potter world. I'm laughing because I know the punchline. That's how funny this is to me. And then after all that debate, we'd finally go, okay, we've finally, you know, settled on a running mate. The vice president is going to be the Scorpion King. And then it would be the actual Scorpion King and not like The Rock in the Scorpion King movies, but like the one as he first appeared in The Mummy where he's, you know, the giant scorpion-tailed centaur. That would be the Scorpion King we'd bring on. And he'd have campaign slogans like, I will eat your children. That would be, and to us, that was hysterical. So, and it was going to be Weasley Scorpion King 2008. And we could have made up bumper stickers and it would have been awesome and patriotic and spectacular. Unfortunately, again, you know what? We're really, really ambitious, in the ideas. The concept was ambitious. The execution, slightly lacking. So, you know, but it was a good idea. Anyway, his question is, if you could have any nerd idol run for president now, who would it be? Look, if it's a matter of when you say nerd idol, I mean, are you talking fictional characters in the sense of Ron Weasley? Because if we're talking real life people, quite clearly, my only choice would be Felicia Day with Chris Hardwick as her running mate. All right. Because, or vice versa. If they want to go the other way and do it, Chris Hardwick and then Felicia Day as the running mate, that's fine by me. But the two of them, one, they're good friends, and two, both of them are young and incredibly ambitious, and both of them have built nerd empires from the ground up. I mean, through their own positive energy and dedication, they basically dug out a spot in this new media and new world and said, no, we don't need to follow those old rules. We don't need to play these games because we can just make our own thing and we can do it exactly the way we want to do it and look what's going to happen. And sure enough, they've both been incredibly successful, striking out on their own like that. And I admire the crap out of them for it. Plus, again, smart, nerdy, unbelievably positive people. I really like both of them. I think that would be an awesome, awesome combo. If I had to go with a fictional character, oh, that one's a little bit tougher. I mean, you know, clearly, you know, cl- clearly Sheriff Rick is a great place to start, but I bet if I go out and look for a Sheriff Rick 2016 presidential bid, I can find one on the internet right now. Sheriff Rick is way too obvious. You know, or for that matter, Tyrion Lannister. Tyrion Lannister would be, I mean, you know, you want a guy who has the chops to really be devious and you know how to run a campaign and get results, get things done. Tyrion Lannister's your man, and I love Tyrion Lannister. I mean, you know, when I say devious and yeah, okay, potentially a little amoral and whatever, but still, boy, that's a guy who could get it done. But these are both main characters in their own franchises. I mean, well, Tyrion is as much of a main character as you're going to get in Game of Thrones. I mean, there's so many characters. But if you wanted to really pull this off, I think the magic of Ron Weasley running for Muggle president was that Ron was not the main character. It's like you took a sidekick and then thrust him into the spotlight and made it all about him. And I think that was the magic of that. So I would want to do something similar, and I'm trying to think, where can I find a really good second banana to make this work? In fact, what I'm going to do? I am going to go with, Jesse. I'm going to go with Jesse from Breaking Bad. Oh man, that would be so cool. Do Jesse and, but who would be his running mate? I mean, now that Walt's dead, what do you do? Wow. I could possibly have Saul run as his running mate, but, Saul's more of a campaign manager type. You know what I mean? It clearly solves the campaign manager. And then probably as a running mate, I mean, why knock something that works? I mean, Scorpion King, clearly. Jesse Pinkman. Pinkman Scorpion King 2016 actually has kind of a ring to it. Pinkman's not perfect, okay? Jesse Pinkman would be good for this, but nah, there's got to be a better second banana out there. Like, Princess Bubblegum. See, there would be a good one. Bubblegum Scorpion King. See where that would be something to work. Because again, Princess Bubblegum is not the primary character, but she is a main character and she's recognizable. Everybody loves her. So yeah, no, that would be a good one. I'm gonna go with Princess Bubblegum. As much as I think that she is a mad scientist and I don't think she is quite stable. Her mind works on alien levels that don't quite mesh with my own. But she's still a great character and still would be really, really good for president. I almost wonder if I should run it as Princess Bubblegum for Muggle president. Boy, that'd be a good mixing of genres, wouldn't it? Anyway. All right. Enough of that. 12. All right. Ooh, I spent way too long on that. That did not warrant that much thought, did it? 12 is from, God, darn this thing. My mouse is not wanting to cooperate. Aha! All right. 12 is from, oh, no. 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 Just not going to do it. No. This is from my wife, Lisa. And Lisa's, no, I don't want to. I'm not going to, I'm just going to edit all this out, pretend this question never existed, and we'll just move on to something else. I mean, why does she do this to me? Does she think it's funny? Clearly she thinks it's funny, but no, sorry. I guess I couldn't get to that one. This one's 92. Let's roll all the way down to the bottom. Man, thank goodness I got away from that. All right, 92 is from Ronster. And Ronster says, I already did this one. If your kids had been born girls, I knew there was a question that I didn't get removed out of here. But yeah, if your kids had been born girls, what names would you have chosen for each of them? And we already covered that a couple times. So let's move on. This time I've actually crossed it off. All right, 66. 66 is from, it's from Zimney. And Zimney says, which would you rather wear? A coat of crickets or a shirt of spiders? Yes, in both cases, they're all alive and active and somehow staying in the general shape of your chosen piece of clothing. Obviously I'd go with the crickets because spiders can bite. Crickets, generally, I don't think crickets bite. If they do, I don't care. But, oh, man, they'd be loud and they'd be tickly, wouldn't they? But so would a shirt of spiders. So, I mean, either way. All right. Wait, what? What? No, I said I wasn't doing that question. You can ask all you want, but I'm not going to do it because, all right, I'll read you the question, but I'm not going to do it. All right. Let me go back and find it. Where was it? My wife, who thinks she's funny. It was number 12, wasn't it? All right. Hold on. Yeah, 12. No, see, if I read it though, then I'm going to have to do it. So I'm not going to do it. No, you guys are out. It's.
In your best Snagglepuss voice, recite the Jabberwocky.
Yeah, see how she's not funny? See that? All right, fine. Oh, God, darn it. All right, no hemming and hawing. You guys already know that I am a complete loss when it comes to impressions, so this is going to be terrible. But at least I know the Jabberwocky, so... 'Twas Brillig and the Slithy Toves even. See, that was terrible. All right, see, God, I did it. I did it. I can't. Oh, I'm so self-conscious. I interrupt myself. All right. 'Twas Brillig and the Slithy Toves even. Did Gyre and Gimble stage left? No, that's it. That's all I'm doing. I can't go any further than that. This thing's got like five stanzas to it. I can't keep going. Is that enough? No? Oh. Did Gyre and Gimble stage left? All mimsy were the borogoves. And see, I got, other than even and stage left, I've got nothing else for Snagglepuss. I can't, there. Whew, thank God. All right, 98. I hate those. And so, I even asked her, I said, why do you do this to me? Why? And she says, because it makes you happy. Oh, darn it. Yeah, she's right, it does. As horrible as those are. They make good radio, don't they? 98 is from Mrs. Darks. Hey, how do you feel about gendered toys? Should this be nerd rage? It makes me nerd ragey. Okay. Hold on. People are being loud. Okay. So, anyway, gendered toys. Yeah, look, this definitely qualifies as a nerd rage. Gendered toys just annoy me. I mean, the fact that there has to be a separate aisle for girls' toys and boys' toys, the fact that it's all pointless. There's no reason for any of it because kids will play with whatever they want to play with, and if it makes them happy, let them do it. The Barbie just recently has an ad that has a little boy in it. Hey, how cool is that? How finally progressive to recognize that, you know what? Sometimes boys play with dolls. It's not a big deal. And yeah, in our current society, most of them will probably choose not to. But that's fine. That's their choice. But the idea that the ad shows that, yeah, but if you want to, it's cool. It's not a problem. I like that. All right. The one that gets us every time, whenever we're passing the store, Aiden will always point them out. The Nerf guns. And, you know, there's a million Nerf guns, and they all work perfectly well unless you're a girl, in which case you have to have the Rebel set. Nerf Rebel, where they have all of the same kinds of weapons, but now they're all highlighted in pink. And they're specifically Nerf guns made for girls. They're the same damn guns with the same mechanism, the same, a lot of times it's just the same gun reskinned. It's not a, why? There's no point to it. Why do I need a girl gun to go shoot people? I don't get that. All right. Legos obviously has had a lot of hoopla about it. The fact that their friend sets, they're designed in pinks and purples just for girls. And the friend sets are, while being the same price, are less complicated and have less pieces to them. And they tend to focus on, for example, and I think I mentioned this once before, the female journalist. They had a reporter van. And so she's a female journalist out in the field and she's got her whole van. And then you get her out there and the van opens up to reveal her makeup table. The idea that, oh yeah, she's a journalist. She's out there reporting. So let's open up the back of her van and make sure we can do her hair and makeup so that she's ready for the report. Ridiculous. Absolutely ridiculous. And not just that, but the exclusion, the oh man, like Avengers couldn't keep getting this more wrong every time. The Avengers has excluded Black Widow from most of their toy sets. All right, you go out and buy Avengers sets. Avengers sets that include all of the heroes, whether it's Legos or whether it's other action figures. And you go out and you buy the sets, and Black Widow is just not there. And they will even have iconic Black Widow scenes, all right? When Black Widow is riding the motorcycle out of the aircraft and into the streets, all right? They have that scene replicated, and I can't remember if it was just an action figure set or if it was a Lego set or whatever it was, but they have that exact same scene being replicated in toy form, except it's not Black Widow driving. It was like Captain America, maybe Hawkeye, but probably Captain America. Captain America rides the motorbike off the aircraft in the streets. It's the same scene from the movie, and they took Black Widow out to put a male hero in her place. Absolutely ludicrous. I'm looking at, we just passed one of these, and because I thought they caught enough flack for this, I thought that they were starting to get better about it, that they were working to fix these kinds of exclusion issues, and yet I was walking in, I think it was Target? Yeah, I'm pretty sure it was Target. Target, who, by the way, made a big deal about no longer having gender toy aisles anymore, which, good move on their part. But they're still carrying this Marvel set. Well, not necessarily Target's fault. I mean, do they have to examine every single product that comes in there, into their store? Especially when it's from a big popular toy line like Marvel and, well, I can't even think. Anyway, but they have this set of, they were like big action figures, like 10-inch or 12-inch action figures. And they had the entire Avengers lineup there. And I'm looking at it and I'm going, well, wait, but that's not just, you know, because normally when you think of them marketing and selling Avengers, you think of them selling just the big four, the frontline guys. So it's always Hulk, Captain America, Thor, Iron Man. Those are the big four. All right. But then I'm looking at it, I'm like, oh, wait, there's like seven figures in there. Holy crap. They got the whole backup lineup too. And I look and sure enough, oh, look, there's Hawkeye over there. And oh, look, it's, oh, wait, that's Ultron. And wait a minute. They went so far as to include Ultron in it, but no Black Widow. They have, oh my God. It was just once again. And I pointed out and Lisa's like, oh, God, you should take a picture of that. And then, for whatever reason, I didn't get the picture. I had my phone on me. I don't know why I didn't get a picture of that. Because there it was, the whole lineup, and they even threw in villains and skipped Black Widow. The entire main team was represented. No Black Widow. Why? Why would they do that? Because some boy who wanted to buy the entire Avengers lineup would somehow avoid it because Black Widow was included among six or seven other figures. And they would say, well, I'd love to have that one, but there's a girl in it. I mean, honestly, was that their marketing decision? That, oh, it's a toy for boys, therefore it can't have anything but male figures in it. Ridiculous. Absolutely ridiculous. So, hold on, Noah's here.
What are we talking about?
We're talking about why they would possibly leave Black Widow out of all of the figures for the Avengers.
I just want to say that...
All right, hold on. You know what? You got to get up here on the mic and you got to quit hitting the table.
She is a Marvel character. Put her in or I'm slapping whoever made those dolls.
All right,
things.
See? Good choice, Noah. Because I saw that in Target. They had a whole lineup and they had all the Avengers up there. They had Captain America and they had Hulk and they had Iron Man and they had Thor.
Yay.
And then they put in Hawkeye. And then instead of putting in Black Widow, they threw in Ultron and they left Black Widow out.
Dang it!
I know, I was outraged as well. I'm with you.
Wait, what about Quicksilver?
No, they didn't go that far. Because then, you know, if you put in Quicksilver, technically he never actually became an Avenger because he died. And, oh, I'm sorry, spoilers for the last movie. Because he died and Scarlet Witch became one of the Avengers. But they obviously, if they're not putting in Black Widow, they're not putting in Scarlet Witch either, so.
Yeah.
So sad. So I'm sorry. Spoilers for that movie. Feel bad now. All right, Noah, are you going to stay with me or are you going to leave? Okay, you're going to leave. All right. So anyway, the gendering toys in general makes me queasy. There's no reason for it. And now, granted, look, when Barbie had the one kid, the boy in their ad for Barbie, all right, which I thought was awesome. They also made the choice to make the kid look, I mean, again, even though he's only 8 or 9 years old, they made the choice to make him look a little stereotypical gay, like the kind of, like he's going to ping your radar. And they had him saying something about how her accessories were so fierce. And so, I mean, it was very, but, you know, I mean, to make him seem a little gay while he's playing with the Barbies, is that being stereotypical, or is that them shooting at their target market for the kind of kids, the kind of boys, males, who would be interested in playing with Barbie at that age? Is that, oh man, see, that gets a little deep on me. I don't know how to feel about that one. So, but, it, like I say, it was generally heartwarming just to see that the ad existed, just to see that they're acknowledging that yes, Barbies are, yeah, mostly for girls, but we also have boys that play with Barbies, and that's cool. That's fine. So, anyway. Oh, double aught. All right, that
is 100.
That is 100. Thank you, Aiden. And it also means that this is going to be our last one. So.
Whoa. I should have just in time that.
Yeah, well, you should have showed up 20 minutes ago, apparently. So, all right. Sorry. You guys have got to stop moving that table every time you sit down.
Sorry.
All right. Here we go.
Oh, hello.
This is from, let's see. Oh, wait, hold on. Where was the gendered toys? I forgot to mark that one. Gendered toys is 5. And number 100 is from Eliahad. Eliahad says, speaking of sandwiches, and we just were, what is your favorite sandwich? And what is the right bread to filling ratio? All right. My favorite sandwich is, well, it's peanut butter and jelly and butter. That's what it is. It is,
gross. Three.
I know, gross. I agree. And yet it's so tasty. It is, one slice of bread with peanut butter on it. And then, a second slice of bread, lightly buttered on both sides, slap that sucker in the middle, and then jelly on the last slice of bread. So it's basically a peanut butter and jelly sandwich with a buttered slice of bread slipped into the middle of it. And it is awesome. I invented it when I was 5 years old and absolutely loved it. And I have been, they are a guilty indulgence snack. Whenever I feel like I need a guilty indulgence snack. So
they
I don't
sound like they're really good for your cholesterol.
Right. Extremely good for my cholesterol. Then I dip them in egg and I deep fat fry them. So no, ooh, I don't do that, but wouldn't that be awesome? Although actually, now that I bring up fried sandwiches, yeah, a cheese Frenchie is really the best sandwich ever, but
cheese Frenchie.
You've never had a cheese Frenchie?
No.
Oh, all right. Imagine a grilled cheese sandwich.
Okay.
Well, it's actually, they always refer to it as a grilled cheese sandwich. It's just a cheese sandwich. But then you take a cheese sandwich, and then you batter it, and then you deep fat fry it. And it is fantastic. And it is a Midwest thing. It's a Nebraska thing. But it is fantastic. I love a cheese Frenchie whenever I get it. And I've never, battering and deep fat frying a whole sandwich at home seems like a little much. So I've only ever gotten them in restaurants, and there's only a few restaurants that actually serve them. But if I ever am sitting in a place that has cheese Frenchie on the menu, by God, that is what I'm eating. I don't care what the other options are. I'm
what
having a cheese Frenchie.
What place has ever had a cheese Frenchie?
The Granary, right here in town.
Then why have I never eaten at the Granary?
Well, the Granary used to be a lot better. And then they changed management, and they changed prices. They got really expensive, and then they went back to being cheap, but now they've kind of cut corners on stuff, and it's not quite the same place it always used to be. So
we've given a single restaurant in our town that's locally owned. They can find us.
yeah, we'll be fine. So anyway, And occasionally you'll find diners around Nebraska that still have cheese Frenchie on the menu. And again, doesn't come up often, but it's awesome. Now, the right bread to filling ratio? Ooh. That's hard to say because it really depends on the sandwich. Because I personally like a lot of bread. And again, for most sandwiches I make at home, quite often, not for the peanut butter, jelly, and butter, because that one really requires actual bread. But for a lot of sandwiches I make at home, I just ditch the bread and I go with the tortilla. I love a flour tortilla.
You and your tortilla fetish?
Oh, dude, hot dogs? Skip the hot dog bun. I heat up my hot dog and then I throw a little ketchup on it and roll it up in the tortilla. I love
Like a weirdo.
Yes, like a weirdo, but it's awesome. I love a tortilla. But bread to filling ratio, I don't know. They're about even. You know what I mean? I say about even, but how do you measure that? I mean, cause, you know, if you look at the thickness of the bread to the thickness of my fillings, there's probably more bread just by sheer thickness, but by weight, they're probably pretty close to even. All right. Let me go with fillings that I actually, because two standard slices of sandwich bread, I will throw on two slices of lunch meat. And, you know, like the standard, you know, Oscar Mayer salami or whatever it is, or Oscar Mayer ham. I'll throw on two slices of meat and one slice of cheese.
Mine's the backwards.
So, my kids like the double cheese, one meat. But either way, that comes up to about what? 2.5 ounces of filling to two slices of bread. What's the weight of two slices of bread?
You look at me like I know this offhand.
You don't?
No!
All right, let me pause while I go look up the weight of two slices of bread. Okay, so he fetched me all the stuff that I need, and then because he was in the kitchen, it reminded him that he's a teenage boy and he thus needs to get himself some food. So he's busy doing that, but what I have is a loaf of bread here that tells me that each slice of bread is about 1 ounce. Ooh, and he's back. All right, so anyway, as I was saying, the bread says it's about 1 ounce per slice, which I did not expect. So roughly 2 ounces of bread thus matches to, we also have the salami here. It's 1 ounce per slice for the salami.
Really?
Yeah, 2/3 of an ounce for a slice of, standard Kraft American cheese. So we're up to 2 2/3 ounces. So therefore, and then you gotta figure, a little bit of Miracle Whip or whatever. Let's just call it 3 ounces even. So the proper bread to filling ratio would be two to three. So there you go. 40% bread, 60% filling. That's the proper ratio. And since Aiden's here and he's disappointed that he, didn't get here soon enough, let's go ahead and do one more.
Let me press the button.
You can press the button. 50. And 50 is? It's from Kyle. Kyle says, have you played the Ravenloft board game yet?
No.
No.
No, you have not.
Whether or not you can, will you please describe it for us? I love the Temple of Elemental Evil. Well.
But whether or not you can, yeah, you have to do it, no matter what.
Yeah, all right. Well, let me go ahead and, all right, hold on. Something's really wrong here. We're getting, the cords are, all right, there we go. That's a little better. No, it's not. Damn it. Now we've probably got some static in here, and I don't know how long the static's been going on. Oh, that's too bad. I'm sorry if there's been too much noise in the background here. Anyway, tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to give it a little silence. Silence! There we go. I'll take that silence out and use it to clean up the static that's going on. So anyway, describe the Ravenloft board game. I can't describe it. I pulled it out. I got all the pieces out. I started reading the instructions and it got really, really complicated. And I thought, oh, no, we're going to have to set up and actually be ready to play for all this to start making sense to me. But it's got a ton of pieces and everything's really gorgeous and it all fits together nicely. And I'm really excited about it, but, oh man, now I have, in addition to Ravenloft, which I haven't played, and Gloom, a card game I have that I haven't played, and now I've got Battlesheep and Pandemic and Small World and Dominion and them.
You're reading off the pile right over there.
Yes, I'm looking right at it. Not to mention Resistor and them's fighting words and Jacob's exploding kittens. I've also got this. I have got a lot of... Oh, and Pittsburgh 66. That's the last one I have that I haven't played
yet. Yeah, we got that at Gen Con. We got to play that.
I know. So I now have 10 games that I need to play, and I will do that. You know what? Why don't I have that done by next week, and when I do my New Year's report, I will report on all 10 of those games for you. You guys hold me to that, and for everyone that I fail to play in the intervening week, I owe you guys an extra Podomatic question. How's that?
I've got it.
What?
Just totally do a, like, New Year's extravaganza. Play them all on New Year's. And maybe record it, why not?
And maybe record it, why not? We won't record it, but that's a great idea. I think we should play as many games as possible on New Year's, and then try as many new games as we can, and then report on all of them next week. I think it's a really good idea. I was kidding, but apparently my son is just full of great ideas. So, cool.
Put in some of the old games, too.
Well, if we have enough time after all of these.
Oh, we will. It's all on New Year's, bruh.
All right. Anyway, that is the end of the Nerd Pride Radio Podomatic. Now we're going to bring out GLaDOS to give you a summary of this week's episode.
Remember when the platform was sliding into the fire pit and I said goodbye, and you were like,
no way.
And then I was all, we pretended we were going to murder you.
That was great.
This podcast is copyright 2015, the last time I'll be able to say that one, by Nerd Pride Radio.
You can say it, I mean, but it won't be correct.
I can, but look, the credits already say 2016. In anticipation of it changing over next week, I've already updated the format.
Why would you do that?
I don't know, because up until 2 weeks ago, it said 2014, and I never updated it for this year, so it's never actually said 2015 in the credits. Now it says 2016. Anyway, copyright 2015 by Nerd Pride Radio. That was the last time I'll say it. The opening and closing theme is Death Metal Disco by Ian Kronk. And normally I have all sorts of wonderful bumper music, but not this week. Let's see. You want instructions on making your own? I didn't even talk about the Pocket Mod. I won't bring it up this week. I'll go to pocketmod.com and get instructions for making your own. Okay. If you want to do something nice for my podcast, recommend it to your friends. If you enjoy it, spread the word. Find someone else who might enjoy this kind of nerdy fun, and let them in on it. Because the word of mouth is what we live by. Remember, I am always looking for you listeners to do my work for me, so don't forget to send me questions and topics for my Podomatic. Also, watch every week on the forums and on Facebook for listener betrayal. And if you have a really interesting nerd fact about an upcoming episode number, send it to me. Save me all of that grueling research. Oh, in fact, look, if you want to send me a possible sponsor or co-host or even what Nerd Pride Radio smells like, send it along. I'll use it because I'm desperate. So my contact information, mike@nerdprideradio.com, on Twitter, @nerdprideradio, facebook.com/nerdprideradio. But to be totally honest, seriously, the very best way to talk to me is you come over to my forums at nerdprideradio.com/forums. You sign up for an account there, send me a private message, we'll hang out together, we'll become best friends in the world. We'll have fun! And now it's time for Listener Betrayal. Before every podcast, I go out to my website and I go out to Facebook and I post up that I'm recording. If anyone wants to contribute there, then I will read it off right here at the end of the podcast. Unfortunately, apparently Boxing Day is a big day out for most people. And so therefore, I'm looking at my forums here, and Listener Betrayal 121 has absolutely no responses. Nobody wants to betray me today. But that's fine. It's the holiday weekend. You guys are probably all with your families. You're hanging out. You're having a good time. So don't worry about it. It's honestly not a big deal. Let's see, because let's go over to – that one's done. We'll go over to Facebook. We'll see if anyone has bothered to respond to Facebook. Da, da, da. Home? It takes me a little while. I'm slow and I can't think to do these things ahead of time. Oh my goodness. No notices whatsoever. That is so sad for me, isn't it? Let me go back and double check over here. Maybe I've missed something. And this would be Let's see. Oh, hey, look at that. There are some responses here. I did not think there would be. That is awesome. And I did ask. I said, here's our listener betrayal. While we're at it, what is the best gift you received this holiday season? And Nellie starts off and says, I got a heated throw. Best present ever. And then she says, what did you get? But I bet you already covered that. I did, and it was good stuff. And then Gratitude Saturday, she says, pick one person that you think has been awesome this week that you are grateful for and why. Oh, that's cool. Wow, one person that's been awesome this week that I am grateful for. It's going to sound cheesy, but it's my wife. Oh, my goodness. This week has – I just felt lost this week, and she is fortunately so organized. You know how scatterbrained I am and how hard it is to keep me on task sometimes? She compliments me very, very well in this area because she is very organized. She's the one that makes the lists and puts them where I can actually get to them, and she's the one that come Christmas Eve. It was crazy Christmas Eve because we had presents to wrap and we had all this stuff to do, and my job, my main job, was I was supposed to make the pajamas. And this year I didn't even tell you about the pajamas. This year our pajama theme was Munchkin because we love the game Munchkin so much as a family that we got, we picked out four cards appropriate to each of us. So, you know, a race card to start. We were going to do class, but the class cards were mostly boring. So we each got a race card, and we got some item out of the treasure deck that was really cool for us, a weapon or a go-up-a-level card or a something that was cool and appropriate to us. And then we each got a curse, and we each got a monster that were either a favorite of ours or a – anyway, something appropriate to the person. And all four cards, we got them all – scanned in, printed out, and each of us wore, we got our pajama shirt, would be those four cards in a row across your chest. And they were super cool. They turned out really, really well. Thank goodness, finally. But I mean, I'm supposed to be getting that done. That was going to be my Christmas Eve thing. And then as soon as I got that done, then I would sit down and help my wife wrap all the gifts. But, you know, wouldn't you know, I didn't bother to test out my printer soon enough, and so I tested out the night before, and oh, it looks like it's out of ink. So I went out and bought more ink for the printer. So I got the ink in. Nope, it's still not printing. Oh, it's not the ink. It's the clogged print heads. I tried cleaning it a bunch of times. I'm the computer guy. I can do this stuff. Nope, can't get the printer to work. Great. Now I got to go run out and find somewhere else that I can print stuff. Oh, it's got to be on an inkjet printer. Oh, God, it's got to be. And it took me 2 hours, 2 hours to finally get all this stuff printed up and ready after all the trial and error, and then finally get them all ironed on. Well, by the time I've done that, she's already wrapped almost everything by herself. I was so grateful. I wrapped the six sets of pajamas, and then I wrapped the gifts that were to her, because that's only fair. And other than that, she took care of all of it. It wasn't even just that. It was, you know, we had her parents over for Christmas dinner on Christmas Day, and so she wound up getting all the cooking done and getting everything prepared. She got all those dishes taken care of that had kind of piled up on us. She got everything cleaned. It was amazing. I mean, I worked a lot this week. I got a lot of stuff done, but I just, again, I felt disorganized and lost, and if it hadn't been for Lisa, I would have been at my wit's end. So thank goodness she had everything going. The Christmas pajamas, we tell you about this. We do the Christmas pajamas every year, and it's almost always some kind of iron-on thing that we do. Although last year we all got Woot shirts that had the Hobbit. It was like the Hobbit shirts that it's, you know, like Bilbo's vest and then the ring hanging on a chain down the middle. And so we all got Hobbit shirts and then matching Hobbit socks. And so we were all Hobbits for our Christmas pajamas. This year it was Munchkin. Past years we've done a superhero theme, or we did Adventure Time mashup theme. So, you know, one of us had an Adventure Time Doctor Who shirt. One of us had we love doing the Christmas pajamas. And it's always, this is the first year, well, second year maybe, that finally it gets to Christmas Eve. We go, all right, guys, everybody gather around the tree. You guys have been so good about helping us that we've decided you all deserve to open one gift on Christmas Eve.
And yeah, I think last year was when finally even Noah caught on, and they're like, oh, well, it's pajamas, right? So it was, I mean, they finally caught on, because when they were little, it was our favorite thing to torture them and go, okay, you guys get to open one gift. And then we'd hand out the gifts and it's pajamas. And then they, oh, we thought you meant a real gift. Whereas now they know it's coming. So they actually have gotten excited about it. And they, Aiden's been asking me for the last 2 weeks, hey, what's the pajama theme this year? Hey, what are you guys doing for pajamas? What are we doing? And so I've been telling him our pajama theme this year was going to be pizza toppings. Told him it was all going to be pizza toppings. We'd each be a different topping. And then when you put all of us together, you'd make a Jones family pizza, which we actually once did a Jones family sandwich. So it's very similar. And of course, I don't think he actually believed me, but there was that kernel of doubt in there. So it turned out pretty cool. Anyway, yeah, like I say, that was, that is my Saturday gratitude then, is my wife. It was, this week. This Christmas turned out wonderfully, and it's because of her. It's because she put in so much effort, and I am so grateful for that. It was really cool. All right, and then next on the listener betrayal is Sarah Beth, and Sarah Beth says, happy Boxing Day, Mike. Well, happy Boxing Day, Sarah Beth, or happy 2 days after Boxing Day, because you won't listen to this till Monday. What is the yummiest thing that you ate on Christmas Day? My mother-in-law came over for Christmas dinner with us, my mother-in-law and father-in-law came over, but my father-in-law didn't bring any food. My mother-in-law did. She brought Christmas cookies, and she makes batches of Christmas treats every year. And she brought over some white fudge, which was heavenly, chocolate-covered peanut butter balls, which were, father-in-law kept complaining that, well, it's too much peanut butter in them this time. No, well, bullshit, too much peanut butter. Oh, my God, they were perfect. This is more peanut butter than she usually does, and they were fantastic. But the best treat that she brought was her homemade caramels, and she's been making homemade caramels every Christmas for as long as I've known her, and I love her homemade caramels. This year, they were perfection. They were... the consistency was perfect. So, I mean, at room temperature, she wrapped some in wax paper. They opened up really easy. They didn't stick to anything. They were just firm enough that they were just a little bit chewy, but still melt in your mouth. And I mean, it was absolutely perfect. Cause I've had years where they've been a little, well, she, when she makes them, some years they've been a little too gooey. Some years they come out a little too dark. Sometimes but these were the best set of caramels she's ever made. And she cut them big. Oh, sometimes she cuts them into, you know, little strips, since you're just getting a little chunk of caramel. No, these were big old, I mean, it was a mouthful chunk of caramel. Holy cow, that stuff was good. I mean, I really was impressed. So that was probably the best thing that I ate on Christmas Day. But, you know, we had so much. I mean, we, you know, did the full turkey, and there was the broccoli and cheese and the green bean casserole. And, oh, well, all right, no, hold on. I did. Lisa took care of most of the dinner. But I made fried potatoes, because that was Jacob's request for this year. Fried potatoes, and I made the rolls. I threw the rolls in the oven. Does that count for something? Okay. But my fried potatoes actually turned out really, really well this time. And I don't know what I did differently. I wish I could keep track of what I do. Because when I cook, I don't follow recipes terribly closely. I kind of guess at ingredients and amounts, and I kind of play it by ear or by taste bud, or however it is you want to categorize that. And I'm one of those cooks that when something turns out, you know, I usually cook pretty well. I'm not a bad cook, but I'm one of those where when things finally turn out unbelievable, I mean, not just good, but oh wow, that was perfect. What did I do this time? I can't remember what I did this time because I'm just faking it. And so this time the fried potatoes were spectacular. I mean, it's nothing but potato slices, and you fry them up in oil. But you know, there's a trick to them to keep them from sticking, and to make sure that you flip them at the right intervals so that your potatoes aren't breaking up whenever you try and run the spatula through the pan, that kind of stuff. And I know fried potatoes aren't complicated, but it's rare to get them exactly perfect. I mean, sliced at the right thickness and just crispy enough and not burnt. And I was really proud of those. Those were some awesome damn potatoes. Nothing to compare to the caramels, but I think my potatoes were pretty good. So, but that's me. All right. Sarah Beth goes on though. And Sarah Beth says, What about Christmas Eve? I don't even remember what we ate on Christmas Eve. I think we were... What did we have on Christmas Eve? Man, we had leftover pizza. And we did something for supper, but I don't remember what. Man, I mean, the whole night was just a blur. Trying to get those pajamas, I was just... Oh, man. I was just going crazy. So, I don't remember. Yeah, Christmas Day made up for all of it. But Sarah Beth says, the best gift that I received was actually making my husband completely speechless when he opened his big gift. Okay, but then you're not going to tell us what the big gift was? I mean, yes, making Pat speechless is actually quite an accomplishment. I get that. And I also get the joy of seeing someone open a gift that you just knew was going to be a good one. I mean, like I say, when Lisa opened her stocking and she found the blood kits, the blood testing kits, I knew that was going to be the one. I knew it was. I mean, everything else, I mean, she got lots of nice stuff. But I knew that these cheap little blood kits would be her absolute favorite, and she squealed, and she was so happy, and it was really heartwarming. It was the one I've been looking forward to that for weeks, because I just knew that moment was coming. And, you know, when you've been married this long, it's hard to hide gifts from each other. I mean, sometimes you're kind of picking out your own gift and you're telling people what to buy and you're getting, you know, yeah, I knew a fair number of my gifts before I opened them because it just happens. You know, we share the same Amazon account. We share a checkbook. Well, not that we actually write checks, but you know what I mean? We share bank accounts and we do all of our shopping together and we've only got so many places we hide presents. It's not like you don't know a lot of your own stuff as an adult. But to actually get something that's an actual surprise and something that they didn't see coming and that they didn't know that they were going to get, and it makes them that happy. Oh, she was so thrilled. It was really cool. So anyway, I completely understand, but now I need to know what that gift was. Suppose I have to ask Pat on Monday. We'll see. All right. This is Sarah Beth again. That and seeing little Desmond actually quiver with joy when he realized he could have everything in his stocking and not just one thing. That's cute. Oh, it was so stinking cute. Little shaking fingers. And then she adds an edit. Edit, Evangeline also had a great day. She just knows the drill already. So very cool. Oh, I remember Christmas with the little kids like that. Can you guys hear Noah, by the way? He's in the next room and he is just super loud. He's so excited. So I was going to go yell at him and tell him he needs to be a little quieter while I'm recording, but come on. It's Christmas. It's Boxing Day. He's having a great time. So anyway, that's everything I've got for today. You guys have been awesome. Hold on. Let me check one last thing. It's just because I'm curious. I go back. Nope. There's nothing there. Nothing there. We are all done. So say goodnight, R2. You guys are the best. Have a good time.